is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for August 3rd, 2018. And I want to welcome you back to the show. Got another great show lined up for you today. And if you would like to call into the show, you can do that. That phone number is 541-299-0498. Once again, 541-299-0498. And we can put you right on the air if you've got something you want to talk about, or if you've got something to contribute to what we'll be talking about today, we'd love to hear from you. You can also reach the show by email, feedback@943thebridge.com. feedback@943thebridge.com. Put Rogue Talk in the subject line and those emails will go directly to me. And finally, you can look up Rogue Talk on Facebook, and we would love to hear from you on the Facebook page. Go on there, like the show, and leave us your comments, or if you have something of local interest you'd like to post on the page, you can do that too. And if we get some interesting things posted there on the Facebook page, we'll talk about them right here on the air. So a couple of things we're going to be doing today. I have my new intern this summer joining me again today. That's Hunter Arnsdorf, and he is... We're going to get to know Hunter a little bit today, and then we're also going to talk about the Major League Baseball. The races are well underway. We're past the halfway point, and of course, the trade deadline came up this week, and there was a few interesting trades. So we're going to talk to Hunter about Major League Baseball and about those trades, because he's a huge sports fan, and as an intern, we're trying to find the ways that he can start contributing to the show and learn some things about doing radio, and a couple more weeks of learning and he can take my job, because let's be honest, that's all it's going to take. So we're going to be talking to Hunter in just a bit, and at the end of the show, we'll talk a little bit about all the local fires and give you some of the latest numbers on the fires going around the area. And so we're looking forward to all of that. So first things first, though, let's meet our guest today. And of course, again, as I mentioned, he's going to be my intern for the rest of the summer. And so let's welcome back to Rogue Talk. He's been on the show a couple times already, but we're gonna give him some pretty significant time on today's show. Hunter, welcome back to Rogue Talk.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And so I got a few questions I want to ask you so that the listeners can get to know you a little bit. So you recently graduated from high school. Where did you go to school?
At Murphy, at Hidden Valley High School, which is in Murphy, Oregon.
So you went to Hidden Valley High School?
Yes.
And you graduated just this past June, right?
Right.
And so now you are attending RCC. And so tell me, what are you taking currently at RCC?
Basically, introduction to college, which helps me get the mindset that I need to be, that mindset I need to have in college. Help me pass college.
Sure, and that's a great one to take, especially over the summer. You know, the fall semester is when you really want to dive into those classes, and so you're going to learn, you know, probably help you pick what courses you want to take by taking this introduction to college course. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So, are you enjoying that class? You've been taking it for a few weeks now?
Yeah, I've been enjoying it.
And you think it's been helpful to get you on the right path toward your, you know, picking your classes in the fall?
Yeah.
Well, good. And so you came to me through the College Dreams program, and without getting into what all about that. We may do a future show on that because, first of all, because you're here and that's how you came to be here with us here at the Bridge, but also my my daughter works for College Dreams, so we may set up a show where we learn more about College Dreams. But because of that program, they got a hold of me and we got introduced, and you you agreed to come on and help out here at the station. But the reason you're involved with this is because you want to go into radio, and so tell me, what is it about radio that interests you, and what kind of radio do you think you would like to be a part of?
To answer your first question, I want to go into sports radio because I really enjoy listening to sports.
And you think you know a lot about sports?
Yes.
And we're going to find that out today because we're going to talk about baseball. Now, I'm a huge baseball fan in general, but I haven't really followed Major League Baseball that closely the last few years. I try and keep tabs of my favorite team, the A's, but I really don't pay as much attention as I used to when I was a season ticket holder years ago. So you're going to be my Major League Baseball expert today. Are you up for the task for that?
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty confident. That's good. Well, you've got to know more about it than I do because I just haven't really been able to follow baseball that closely. In preparation for today's show, I've done probably more research on baseball than I've done in probably 20 years. So
wow.
Which still means I don't know much, but at least I'm somewhat familiar with what's going on. So you'd like to be in sports radio? Do you want to call games and be like a play-by-play announcer, or would you rather be someone maybe on like SportsCenter on ESPN or something like that?
I'd rather be a play-by-play announcer.
You would. So that interests you. Well, we're going to be getting a chance to do some of that toward the end of the summer. We're going to, of course, right here on 94.3 The Bridge, we cover Chieftain sports, and the football season starts at the end of August, and you're going to come along on a couple of those broadcasts, maybe even into September. We'll get you to a couple of games, and we're going to get you on the air. And kind of like what we're doing right here today, a couple of tries at that, and you'll be just as good as I am because, let's face it, the bar's not set real high, so we're looking forward to that. And so are you looking forward to getting a chance to do that?
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's good, and I can't wait for the season to start. I like getting the summer off, but it's a lot of fun calling games, and I think you're really going to enjoy that. And you know, what do you think you're going to need to learn to make yourself a better announcer for play-by-play? What are things that you think are important for you to learn?
Basically, how to sound good and what it feels like to talk on a microphone.
Yeah, and we're definitely getting some practice on that, having you in the studio teaching. We've been teaching you some microphone techniques. And we've talked about some of the things that you can do to improve not only your techniques, but your voice and the way that you speak into a microphone. And the good thing that you have learning some of this from me is I've made all of these mistakes, and I make them on a regular basis. So I'm pretty up to date on making mistakes on the microphone. In fact, we talked about one of the things that I routinely come down on myself about, and that's breathing into the microphone. And I hear it when I listen to my recordings. What's one of the things that you can do on your own that will help you develop your voice for radio?
Just practice recording my voice and get used to it.
That's a good plan. I definitely think you should do that, and it can be very helpful. You know, you've had a chance to listen to yourself a little bit. In fact, when the first week that you were here, we did a little sample recording, and we've listened to it a little bit. One of the things that scares people away from doing radio is they don't like the sound of their own voice. Is that something that bothers you, or are you pretty comfortable with your voice?
I'm pretty comfortable.
Well, that's good. And I don't know if I mentioned this last week. I know you and I have talked about it, but I don't know that I said this on the air. But one of the things for me that makes me a little different than what the average person would say. Most people, they hear their own voice and they really don't like it and they don't want to hear it. I actually like the voice that I hear when I record myself more than I like the voice that I hear in my head. Now, if that happens for you, that'll be, it's very helpful for me because I just tell myself, well, when I go back and listen to this, it's going to sound better than what I'm hearing in my head. And so most people are more comfortable with that voice inside their head, but I'm not. I don't like it. I'd rather listen to myself. So I hope that kind of happens for you too. But so talking about doing the play-by-play or doing color announcing, what kinds of things in the game would be helpful to you, do you think, that would make the broadcast better? What kinds of things can you do to prepare for a broadcast?
Keep down track notes.
Take down some notes for sure. You can learn who the players are. One of the advantages to covering a team, you know, where you're covering the same team week after week, is that you get to learn who the players are. You learn their strengths and their weaknesses. But another thing you can learn about the players is something you can keep track of from game to game, and that would be statistics. Is that something that interests you?
Yeah, I like tracking statistics.
You do like that. So, and I've heard that's something that you're pretty good at, that you're pretty good with numbers, and so we'll probably start you off doing some, you know, just keeping some statistics, which helps not only with the broadcast, but it helps with future broadcasts too, because you have those notes that you can go back to and you can look at that. Well, we're super excited to have you here this summer. I think you're doing a great job so far. I'm really pleased with your enthusiasm toward everything I've asked you to do. So we've got the whole rest of the summer to hang out. And one of the things that I've been asking you to do, I've been sending you home with a little homework. And of course, last week we had you on. We also had the Rogue Talk mascot Cameron on. We talked about the NBA. And so to keep with the sports, because that's something that you're really passionate about, we've decided to talk about Major League Baseball today. And as I said before, Hunter's going to be my expert today because I just am not super comfortable with Major League Baseball, but we're gonna find out what kind of stuff Hunter knows about baseball right after this break.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. U.S. employers slowed their hiring in July, adding 157,000 jobs, a solid gain, but below the healthy pace they maintained in the first half of this year. The Labor Department says the unemployment rate ticked down to 3.9% from 4%. NASA today announcing from Houston they've assigned the astronauts who will ride the first commercial capsules into orbit next year. SpaceX and Boeing are shooting for a test flight of their capsules to the International Space Station by the end of this year, with the first crews flying from Cape Canaveral, Florida, by next spring. Ohio State coach Urban Meyer says he followed proper reporting protocols regarding domestic violence allegations against an assistant coach in 2015. He addressed Buckeye fans on Twitter today. He was placed on administrative leave on Wednesday. On Wall Street, the Dow ending up 136, NASDAQ up 9, S&P up 13. You're listening to SRN News.
Broadcasting on 100,000 milliwatts.
Don't try this at home.
Ow. 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
With SRN Sports, I'm Ron DeRockstra. Baltimore beat the Yankees last night 7-5. Sonny Gray allowing 7 runs, gave up 8 hits and 2 walks in 2 2/3 innings. Cleveland shuts out Minnesota 2-0. The Cubs beat Pittsburgh 9-2. Cole Hamels wins in his Cubs debut. Manager Joe Maddon is happy with taking 1-2 in their series.
This was nice to split this one. These guys have been playing well. So it's not awful. If you look underneath it, it's not under the surface. It's not awful based on who we've been playing and the way the schedule's been set up.
Tampa Bay beat the Angels 7-2. It was Kansas City 10-5 over the White Sox. St. Louis beat Colorado 6-3. Dodgers 6-4 over Milwaukee. Miami and Atlanta postponed because of weather. Detroit beat Cincinnati 7-4. Oakland beat Toronto 8-3. It was Houston over Seattle. And Washington beats the Mets. This is SRN Sports. Ohio State's placed coach Urban Meyer on paid administrative leave while it investigates claims that his wife knew about allegations of abuse against an assistant coach years before he was fired last week. Offensive coordinator Ryan Day will serve as acting head coach for the Buckeyes. NCAA says players will now be allowed to play in up to 4 games and still qualify for a redshirt season, maintaining 4 years of eligibility. In the past, playing just 1 game could cost a player an entire season of eligibility. In the pros, Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz did not participate in 11-on-11 drills for the 3rd straight practice for precautionary reasons after taking part the first 3 days. Wentz again was on the field, though, for the 7-on-7 portion of practice. And the Dallas Cowboys have activated defensive end Randy Gregory off the non-football injury list after a year away from football on substance abuse suspension. This is SRN Sports.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And if you would like to call in to talk about Major League Baseball, you can do that at 541-299-0498. Once again, 541-299-0498. And of course, the Major League Baseball season has passed the halfway point, and the All-Star game has come and gone, and this week so has the trade deadline, which was July 31st was the trade deadline. And so we've got our intern Hunter Arnsdorf back with us, and we're going to talk about Major League Baseball and talk about some of the trades. So there were some pretty big trades, Hunter, right near the deadline this year.
Yes.
So I noticed that a couple of key players that changed teams, and then some other key players that actually didn't change teams. So we're going to talk about that. But I thought maybe we could do this. Let's just take a look at the standings and talk about some of the teams that are competing in each of the divisions. So let's start with the American League East. Really only two teams in contention in the East. Realistically, the third place team is the Tampa Bay Rays. They're 19.5 games out currently. So really with 2 months left in the season, they're probably out of the talk. The Boston Red Sox lead the division. New York Yankees are 6.5 games back. There's been some trades involving especially the Yankees. Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the players that the Yankees have acquired? You have some of those in front of you there? All right, well let's see if I can bring those up. I must not have given you that one. So the Yankees really mostly got some pitching help. They got Lance Lynn, J.A. Happ, and Zach Britton. Are you familiar with those players?
A little bit.
So Zach Britton, I understand, is probably the key pickup for the Yankees. He's got a almost unhittable sinker that he throws. So he's going to be, and he's a left-hander, which is a, you know, a big deal. So he's going to be a big addition to that bullpen. But do you think that's going to be enough for the Yankees to catch the Red Sox, or are the Yankees going to be settling for a wild card spot?
I believe that they're settling for a wild card spot.
You don't think that the extra pitching they've added is going to be enough to catch the Red Sox?
No.
Well, I hope you're right, because my number two team after the Oakland A's is the Boston Red Sox, so I'm hoping you're right on that. Now, Boston really, I didn't see any significant, did you, on your trade list, did you see Boston acquiring any significant players?
No.
No. So, you know, New York, as they tend to do, they went out and made the moves that they thought would help the team, but we'll have to see if you're right, and that's going to be enough going forward with 2 months left in the season. So we can move on to the American League Central, and the not much to talk about in the Central. The Cleveland Indians lead by 10 games. Most likely will not be caught by the Twins unless there's just some, you know, major league style collapse.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening, but it's an interesting division, kind of a weak division. There's several teams in the American League that don't lead their division that have a better record than the Cleveland Indians. And not, I didn't see any really big trades involving any of the teams in the Central, so we're going to kind of move on. I don't expect the Indians to make a lot of noise come playoff time. You know, it depends what the matchup is, but I don't see the Central being too much of a factor going forward. So let's take a look at my favorite division, the American League West, and the Oakland Athletics are within 5 games of the Houston Astros, and the Seattle Mariners are right on their heels, only a half a game behind the A's. And so both of those teams have a chance to catch the Astros for first place. Do you think one of those teams is going to be able to catch the Astros? And if so, which team do you think has the better chance?
I don't think any of those teams have a shot to pass the Astros.
Wow. Well, I'm pretty sure Mike in the truck is probably listening today, and he's not going to be happy to hear that. He's a season ticket holder for the A's, and I think he might say that with their recent 3-game winning streak that they're on the move and they're going to catch the Astros. But we'll have to wait and see. But if they don't, both of those teams have a shot at the wild card. The A's are currently holding down the second wild card slot, and of course, the Mariners had it. The A's recently passed them to take that second spot. Do you think one of those two teams is going to continue to hang on and keep that wild card spot?
Yes.
Yeah, you think so? Nobody else is going to be able to catch them there? And not a lot of teams really playing well enough. I mean, you really got to go back to the East. You know, Tampa Bay really about the only other team in striking distance, and they're really not that close. So I think you're right. It's going to be either the A's or the Mariners, if they don't catch the Astros, that are going to get that spot. So we haven't talked a lot about trades yet, and part of the reason is a lot of the trades happened over on the National League side, which we're going to get to next. But an interesting trade, and I know you don't have this one on your list, but the Houston Astros, and I'm not even sure how they acquired him. I don't know what kind of a trade or if it was even a trade, but they acquired Roberto Osuna. Now, the reason that's interesting, if you're not following baseball, and I was only following not very closely, he's coming off a 75-game suspension for domestic violence. And kind of the interesting thing about it is the case hasn't been settled. The legal battle, or the legal case, is still in limbo. It still hasn't been gone through, you know, completely through the court system. So he's coming off this suspension, but he still could do some jail time, or, you know, who knows what the outcome of the case will be. Seems like kind of a strange pickup for the defending world champions. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's very strange that they'll pick up someone like that.
Yeah, it seems like somebody that's flying under the radar. They see that he's available, maybe they would pick him up. But for the defending world champs to take a chance on a guy like that, I think is a little peculiar. So we'll have to see how that works out. I guess he's got his first rehab assignment in single A ball tonight, and so I'm not sure when he'll join the major league team. But really a strange situation, and I kind of an odd thing for the Astros to do. But we'll have to keep paying attention to what goes on with that. So let's move to the National League. And I know there were some trade talks when it comes to the National League and some trades that were made. Pretty good race in the East. You got the Phillies and the Braves and the Nationals all within five games of one another. The Braves and Phillies are basically in almost a dead heat right now with only a half game separating them. And then the Nationals five games back. Do you have any trades related to any of those three teams?
Yeah.
So what happened with those?
Got one trade where the Braves traded for Adam Duvall from the Cincinnati Reds.
The Braves did. And do you think that's going to be a good trade for them? Is that going to help that team?
It's going to help them a lot on the outfield.
Yeah. Now, did they needed some outfield help? Were they a little shy out there in the outfield?
I believe so.
Yeah, so that should help them a little bit. And, of course, the Reds probably were in the mood to deal with them being last in the Central, 14 and a half games back. Those are the kind of teams you can pick up pretty good players from. So now there was a lot of trade talk involving the Nationals, but it wasn't a trade that made the trade talk so interesting. Who was in those trade talks and is he still with the Nationals?
Yeah, it's Bryce Harper.
So, yeah, the Nationals were shopping Bryce Harper a little bit, and then in the last couple of days, they just declared that he's not available, and they basically didn't do anything, which is a little peculiar. The general manager, Mike Rizzo, he basically said he thinks this team can still compete. Now, at the time that he made that proclamation, they were only five games out of first, which they currently still are. But they were a half game below 500, and I just don't know. I mean, part of that tells me that the East is not the strongest of the divisions in the National League. But I just don't know that you're going to limp your way into the playoffs without adding to what's basically a 500 team, and so we'll have to see how that plays out. Now, we move on to the Central. Were there any of the teams in the Central that made any significant trades? I know there's guys going the other direction. The Pittsburgh Pirates, they picked up some guys. Now, we didn't mention it yet. The Central is pretty competitive as well. In fact, all except the Reds are in contention. You got two teams 6.5 games back, the Cardinals and the Pirates. The Brewers are only a game back of the leading Chicago Cubs. But we didn't see a lot of huge moves in the Central except for the Pirates. Who did the Pirates pick up?
They picked up the starter from Tampa Bay, Chris Archer.
That's right. And they also picked up Keone Keela. I don't know too much about him, but I think the Archer trade is definitely the one they're hoping will pay off. Got a lot of flack for that trade. You know, a lot of social media was kind of down on that trade. The Pirate fans not too sure about it, but we'll just have to wait and see if that's going to pay off for them.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at let's move to the West. Also very competitive in the West. San Diego Padres are out of it. Not surprising. 18.5 games back. Your favorite team is right there in the mix. They're five games out. That's the San Francisco Giants. Of course, the Rockies two games back. The Diamondbacks are one game back. And probably much to your chagrin, the Dodgers leading the West right now in the National League. So let's talk about some of the trades that happened involving the teams in the West.
One of the trades that I saw was that Manny Machado getting traded from Baltimore over to the Dodgers.
Now, Manny Machado, he's a shortstop, but he puts up some pretty big numbers for a shortstop. In fact, on the season, he's hitting .309 with 26 home runs and 70 RBIs. That's pretty big numbers for a shortstop.
Yeah.
So who else do you know who else the Dodgers got? They picked up another player also that probably not as big a name as Manny Machado, but he paid some pretty quick dividends for the Dodgers. Who was that?
Brian Dozier.
Who did he come over from?
The Twins.
So he came over from the Twins, and in his first, he had two homers in his first two games with the Dodgers. So that's the kind of guy you like. You like when you bring a guy in and he pays off, you know, some big dividends. And so Dozier definitely did that for the Dodgers. Now, are there any other trades on your list that we haven't talked about yet?
I got one trade.
And what was that?
The Texas Rangers trading Cole Hamels to Chicago.
To the Cubs. So the Cubs picking up a pretty good Cole Hamels. He's a pitcher, right?
Yeah.
So that's a pretty big pickup. I didn't actually even hear about that one. And now I know a few years ago Cole Hamels was, you know, a pretty good pitcher. Is he still one of the top guys, or is he falling off some?
No, he's doing really good. He started last night at one for the Chicago Cubs.
He did. So that's a big pickup for the Cubs. Of course, the Cubs are leading the Central, but they've got the Brewers and the Cardinals and even the Pirates all trying to hunt them down. And, you know, 6.5 games is not a insurmountable lead. So really, anybody's got a chance in the National League Central right now. So looking at the standings and looking at some of the trades that were made, who are you favoring? Let's start with the American League. Who are your top two teams coming out of the American League right now?
Probably going to be the Yankees and Astros.
Yankees and the Astros. So you think, even though the Red Sox probably will win the East, or at least that's what you said, you think ultimately in the playoffs it's going to be the Yankees and the Astros playing for the American League Championship?
Yes.
And what makes you think that?
I just think that the Yankees have a better team, and I believe that the Astros are just really good and are going to continue what they started from last year, and that's winning the World Series.
That's right. Now, who did they beat in the World Series last year?
The Dodgers.
Oh, yeah. We don't. It's one thing, you know, our teams compete against one another across the Bay. You know, we have the Bay Bridge Series and all of that. And so we're kind of friendly rivals. But there's one thing we can agree on, and that's in hating the Dodgers.
Yes.
Yeah. I knew you would agree on that. Now, I have a different reason for it. See, as an A's fan, I still leave the room when they show a replay of the Kirk Gibson home run against Dennis Eckersley in the 1988 World Series. That still makes me sick to my stomach. I still have to leave the room whenever that comes on TV. So that's left a horrible taste in my mouth. And on the other hand, it's always the Dodgers that are competing with the Giants in the National League West. And so I have to admit that occasionally I go ahead and root for the Dodgers just to make my friends mad that follow the Giants. Now, that doesn't offend you, does it?
No.
Now, why don't you mention, okay, well, we talked about the American League. Your two picks for the American League are the Yankees and the Astros. I think pretty good picks. I think, you know, a lot of people would still throw the Red Sox in that mix, although, you know, I think logically you're not wrong. Looking at the trades that went on, the Yankees really bolstered their bullpen, and that's important in the playoffs, because I think defense, pitching and defense is much more important when you get to the playoffs than it is. I mean, it's important all the time, but it really becomes magnified in the playoffs. You don't have a lot of blowouts. You know, occasional game that's a blowout, but a lot more defensive, you know, manufacturing run type baseball in the playoffs. So let's look at the National League. Coming out of the National League, who are your top two or three teams?
I believe it's going to be the Braves and the Dodgers.
Braves and the Dodgers. Interesting. Now, the Braves are right on the heels of the Phillies. And one of the things that I'm noticing coming out of the National League is all three divisions are pretty consistent. You know, if you're right around that 60 win mark, you're right in the hunt. You're right in the thick of things. You're right in the hunt there, and it's pretty balanced. The top teams in the three divisions are 60 wins, 62 wins, and 61 wins. So it's pretty consistent. The East is the only division where you really have two teams that are out of it. You've got the Marlins and the Mets that are pretty much out of contention right now. But in the other two divisions, it's only one team that's out, the Reds and then the Padres. So looking at those numbers, and again, you've said the Braves and the Dodgers. What do you think about the Cubs? Now, the Cubs were in the World Series a few years back, and they'd like to get back there again. What do you think about the Cubs right now?
I think they're doing really good. I just think they have to pick it up from what happened a couple of years ago since they won the World Series.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting. You did pick the Dodgers, which means you're somewhat of an unbiased reporter in this case because you're a Giants fan and you still admit that the Dodgers are probably one of the best teams in the National League right now.
Yes.
So, thinking about those two, the two teams that you picked from both the American League and the National League, who do you think is going to win the whole thing? Let's start with the league. Do you think one league has an advantage over the other one? And then we'll go to the teams. Which do you think one of the two leagues has an advantage right now based on the performance of the teams that are coming up?
I think the National League has more of an advantage.
And why do you think that is?
There's more teams that are competitive for the playoffs.
So they're battling more teams. You don't really have a runaway. And that's a good point because like we talked about with the American League Central, you got the Cleveland Indians who are not really playing that great of baseball right now, and they lead their division by 10 games. It's not that they're not trying hard and they're not, you know, trying to get better. But you play more games within your division than anywhere else, and it's just not a competitive division. In fact, they're leading with 59 wins, and which is respectable. I mean, it's 11 games over 500, so that's not bad. But you look to the East, the American League East, and the leading team has 76 wins. And the second place team has 9 more wins than the Indians, and that's the Yankees. And then again, you look to the West, 3 of the 5 teams in the West have a better record than the Central leading Indians. So it's probably a good point. With the leagues being a little more competitive over on the National League side, they're going to come into the playoffs with probably a little better edge, maybe. I think that's a good assessment. So ultimately then, from those teams that you picked, who do you think is going to end up in the World Series?
I probably am going to pick the Astros.
Astros, and who are they going to be playing against?
I have to say the Dodgers again.
Dodgers. So Astros and Dodgers. Little battle of a couple of West Coast teams, as West Coast as we call it in sports. I mean, obviously Houston's not on the coast, but that could be an interesting matchup. And then who do you think will win the whole thing?
I have to go to the Astros. Actually, no, I have to change to the Dodgers.
Gonna pick the Dodgers. Now, who's really excelling right now for the Dodgers that makes you think that they're the team to beat? Of course, we talked about Machado, which is a huge addition to that team. Who else is going to help that Dodger team?
The new player they got, Brian Dozier.
Dozier? Well, he's already paid some dividends. Who of the guys that they already had do you think are the keys to that Dodger team?
Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, Kershaw for sure. And he, you know, we're going to see, you know, another trip to the playoffs. We'll see how he performs. He hasn't really been a clutch performer, to be completely honest. And if there was a scenario where they had to play the Giants, which would be obviously probably a wild card scenario, where a wild card team would advance to play the Dodgers. Kershaw hasn't done well against the Giants. Do you think he can turn that around?
Yes.
You think so? Well, it'd be interesting. It's the one weakness he has shown so far is I don't think he's shown himself to be a big game pitcher, and he's really going to have to turn that around if you're going to have success in the playoffs. But you think he's got the right stuff?
Yes. Once you have World Series appearance, once you play in the big series, you know what it feels like to play in it.
So you think that getting into it last year is enough to kind of give him that experience? And I think you could be right. I know, I get a lot of the high school kids in here talking about their sports, and in fact, Cameron, the Rogue Talk mascot, I think that's something that he experienced this year. You know, he went to Hayward Field at the University of Oregon, and he felt really intimidated by the whole experience. And now next year they won't be at Hayward Field because they're doing this massive remodel, but that experience of being at that big state meet and going through that, I think will serve him well next year. He won't feel so intimidated. And so you're probably right. You know, these guys are human just like anyone else, even though they're professional athletes. And going through that experience once definitely should help him out. But we'll see. You know, there's some guys that are huge talents that have great careers, but they never can put it together on the big stage. So we're gonna probably find out this year with the Dodgers if Kershaw's got what it takes. So who are the key players over on the American League side? You said that the Astros are gonna go to the World Series. Who's really the key guys for that team?
I believe Justin Verlander.
Definitely, you know, another pitcher. And again, pitching is huge when you get to the playoffs for sure. And Verlander's one of those guys that I don't think he ages. He just, year after year, he just puts up big numbers, and he's really good. We were just questioning whether Kershaw was going to be good under the spotlight of the playoffs. Verlander's a guy that's already been great under the spotlight of the playoffs. So if he pitches well enough, do you think the Astros maybe will beat the Dodgers?
Yes, it just depends on how good that team can play.
For sure. Now, are there any other guys on the Astros that you think are going to be keys to them doing well in the playoffs?
I just have to think that, like I said about the Dodgers, is just having a World Series experience could be one thing that could help them out to beat the Dodgers again.
Yep. Now, and it's always tough to defend that World Series title. Now, you go back to the 70s when my A's won, you know, they won their three World Series. They were able to go back-to-back, but you move to the 80s and into the 90s, and the A's went to three straight World Series, and they lost two out of three, so they weren't able to do that. So, that's a big consideration on whether the Astros can repeat that performance of a year ago. And it's a tough thing to do in any sport, and I think baseball as much as anyone is, it's really tough. Now, since we've kind of broken it down into the who you think's going to the World Series, let's back things up a little bit. Let's talk about your Giants. What's it going to take? Who needs to perform well for the Giants to propel them into the playoffs and to potentially to the World Series?
I just think they can't have any players that get hurt. Just yesterday, Pablo Sandoval just tore a hamstring, which means he's going to be out for a season.
Yeah, that's a big loss for the Giants for sure. He's a key player on that Giants team. You know, and another guy that's had some injuries is their ace pitcher, Bumgarner. Is he healthy now?
I believe so, yes.
He is. That's good, because I know he was injured the beginning, I think, of the last two seasons. He's had injuries. One of them was off the field. It was a motorcycle accident or a truck? Something.
It was an ATV. He went up into the mountains last year in Colorado and hurt himself.
So if they can keep Bumgarner off the recreational vehicles, then maybe he'll be healthy.
Yes.
Going, trying to get into the playoffs. But I think it's going to be a tough task for the Giants to make up those five games. Not because five games is that much. It's not. But the way that the Dodgers are playing, and frankly, even the way the Diamondbacks have played, although, you know, they've had some shaky stretches of the season, but I just don't see the Giants having enough to get that done. Do you think that they're going to be able to grab a wild card spot?
I mean, if they can't get any players that get hurt, then yes.
Yeah, but you said Sandoval was hurt. That's going to be huge. They're a scrappy team, though. They get contributions from all different guys, and I think the weakness I see, and I'm not good with all the names of the players, but they're some of the guys that they've counted on to be real clutch performers have not been playing well this season, and even a little bit last season. And I think that may be where the difference comes from. If you can't get some of your role players to have those games, because let's be honest, some of the stars of the World Series have been guys that you really, if you're just a casual baseball fan, you don't know who these guys are, and all of a sudden they're the MVP of the World Series because they just get hot at the right time. And the Giants did that quite a bit when they were winning their World Series championships. They had kind of role players come up big, and I just haven't seen as much of that this season. Do you think there's anybody on that Giants team that can spark them? You know, I know Hunter Pence in the past has been one of those kind of role players that comes up big, but he's struggling. He's not as good as he was. Who do you see on that Giants team that might be able to be that spark for the Giants?
I believe Hunter Pence.
You think it still could be Hunter Pence? So, well, we'll have to wait and see. He's at least from what I've seen, and again, you watch a lot more games than I do. I feel like he's just kind of scuffling right now, not as solid as he's been, but we'll have to wait and see. You know, guys get hot and some guys get cold, and we'll just have to see how that goes. Well, Hunter, have you enjoyed your first full segment?
Yes.
This is Hunter produced this segment. This was his deal here. He made the list of all the trades we talked about, and I think it was a great discussion. I've learned a lot. I haven't been following baseball, so I had to kind of cram last night and get my head in the game, so to speak. But I think you covered it pretty well. And Hunter's got a family event he's going to head off to, so we're going to let him go. And when we come back, we will talk a little bit about the local news and the fires. And if there's any time left, I got a couple of political things I can bore you with, but we'll see how much time I have left when we come back. So don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. U.S. employers slowed their hiring in July, adding 157,000 jobs, a solid gain, but below the healthy pace they maintained in the first half of the year. The Labor Department says the unemployment rate ticked down to 3.9% from 4%. A U.S. government scientist who's seen the contents of 55 boxes of remains turned over by North Korea says the remains are consistent with being Americans. John E. Byrd, director of the lab in Hawaii that is working to ID the remains, told reporters at the Pentagon that it's too early to know how many people are represented in those boxes. Shelley Cohen, who served for nearly three decades as the assistant music director during Johnny Carson's entire run on The Tonight Show, even leading the band on air once in a while, he's passed away at 84. He died of pneumonia, according to his wife of 64 years. On Wall Street, the Dow ending up 136 to close at 25,463. This is SRN News.
The home of the Chieftain Nation. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers, 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. The Federal Reserve is leaving its benchmark interest rate unchanged, but expects gradual rate hikes in the months ahead as long as the economy stays healthy. The Fed's decision leaves the central bank's key short-term rate at 1.75% to 2%, the level hit in June when the Fed boosted the rate for the second time this year. The Trump administration is proposing raising taxes on $200 billion in Chinese imports to 25% from 10%. The U.S. has already imposed 25% tariffs on $34 billion in Chinese imports and is preparing 25% tariffs on another $16 billion worth to punish China. The Trump administration accuses China of using predatory tactics to obtain U.S. technology. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 81 points with business. I'm Dennis Crowley.
Rogue Talk. And I want to give another big thank you to my intern, Hunter Arnsdorf. He did a great job today, and we look forward to more coming from Hunter. In fact, he's got another assignment that he's going to be working on. And, you know, I know it's not a sports show, but Hunter really likes sports. And so, you know, we're starting out with things that he can really dig his teeth into. So we're going to talk about the NFL next week. We started with the NBA. Today we did Major League Baseball. And next week we're gonna talk about, or at least in his next segment, it may or may not be next week. If it was happening right now, it would be on the show, but depends on some of the guests that we have coming up, and we do have some good guests coming up throughout August and heading into September, and we're still trying to get all those scheduled, but I'm definitely Jamie Wright, who is the stepping down as the principal at Rogue River Junior Senior High School. She's going to be a principal at the elementary school, and her vice principal will be stepping up to be principal at the high school. So we're going to be talking to Jamie in the next couple of weeks. I won't mention any of the other names because I haven't scheduled any of those, but we've got a few people we're talking to, someone from the school board and someone from the city we're talking to. So we've got some interesting guests coming on. We just got to get them pinned down on the dates and times, and we'll get that done. So again, thank you to Hunter for preparing that Major League Baseball segment. And like I said, he will be back on a upcoming show to talk about the NFL. And we're going to talk about who we think are they're going to be the best teams going into the season. The NFL preseason starts in a week, I believe. And, of course, that'll kick off with the Hall of Fame game. And so we're looking forward to another football season. I don't watch as much football as I used to. I kind of spend more time watching college football. We'll probably get the Rogue Talk mascot back on because he loves college football, and we'll talk about that as well. So I got just a little bit of time left here. I want to give you a quick update on a couple of the fires. The Taylor Creek fire used to be part of the Garner complex. They've now separated it out. It's up to 33,500 acres. It's 34% contained. And there will be a meeting tomorrow at North Valley High School at 6 o'clock, a community meeting regarding the Taylor Creek fire. So if you'd like to get to that meeting, that's 6 o'clock tomorrow at North Valley High School. We're not going to get to the rest of the fires. The Garner complex is in much better shape. And so we're happy to hear that. But for now, be good to one another because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.